Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. It's always an informative pleasure to catch up with Wake County State Representative Cynthia Ball. Now in her second term in the House, Ball is a high-energy champion for a host of progressive causes, from Medicaid expansion to helping low-wage workers to improving early childhood education to a rational discussion about gun violence. Representative Ball joined us in studio earlier this week to talk about Governor Cooper's State of the State speech and some of the key issues she'd like to see on the legislative agenda in the weeks to come. Well, Representative Cynthia Ball, welcome back to News and Views. Good to have you back with us.
Oh, I'm so glad to be back here.
The 2019 legislative session is underway, for better or for worse, I think mostly for better. And I know you're immersed in it. Do you have some initial impressions as we're starting to really get underway here?
I'm feeling a lot more encouraged about us being able to work together. There are some, some bright spots, I guess you'd say, maybe some disappointments. The State of the State address was one that I thought was a very good indication from the governor of where our priorities will be and what he will support and what he will sign. And of course, without the supermajorities, that's a very important feature,
right.
A relevant veto that we can sustain.
Right.
But what was more disappointing, I think, than just a lack of, yay, this is all wonderful, was that there was very little on both sides of the aisle of support for things that ought to be bipartisan. So I felt more encouraged after the State of the State. But at the same time, I am working with several Republicans on some legislation. I understand, and I think the people of North Carolina have told us that they want us to work together. So I am working with some Republicans on some legislation, primarily education, but also some health-related legislation. And I'm feeling good about that. It's a little bit harder to, you can just do a bill the way you want it to do, find someone who's 100% with you on everything and file the bill quickly. So my bills haven't been filed yet because it takes some time to negotiate the points of the bills.
With a closely divided General Assembly, it's almost like some members are going to have to learn some new skills. The Republicans have been in such dominant position for so long, and they've basically been able to ignore the Democrats. And now all of a sudden, it's a different kind of legislating that'll be going on.
It is. It's different, harder in some ways. We can't just, as I said, draft a piece of legislation, file it, and be happy about it. And the people who agree with us 100% about it are thrilled, and then it goes nowhere. This time I'm convinced, and I am determined. Determined. That was the governor's word, which I love.
Yeah.
I'm also determined to make sure that we work together and that the bills that I work on, not all of them, but most of them are ones that I have worked collaboratively with some members of the Republican Party who are also, I think, aware that we want to work together. Some of that may be a little bit political, meaning we better show people we can work together or else 2020 won't look as good for whichever side you're talking about. Because I think the people of North Carolina have spoken. I think they did.
Well, I want to hit some of your top priorities, but I also want to hit a couple of themes that the governor talked about because they remain overarching issues, one being Medicaid expansion, the other being funding for our schools and particularly the infrastructure, school bonds. Do you have any hopeful thoughts on where we're going with those in 2019?
Yes, I have said to so many people, we had a Medicaid expansion advocacy day yesterday, and I said to a lot of people who came to see me, that, yes, I think we'll have Medicaid expansion. That's not what it'll be called, because once you stake your line in the sand that I'll never do it, which is unfortunately what happened many years ago, then you kind of need to change the terminology. So we understand that. We also refer to it as closing the coverage gap.
Right.
So I think we'll find something. And as I said to the absolute advocates of Medicaid expansion, as I am, I want a clean bill. But I don't think that's what we'll get. I think we'll get something in between. And so I think we've got to have our ears open and our minds open as to the best way to get to the most people who are not covered now coverage. And I think that I don't want to see a work requirement, but I'm not saying that some shape, form of that, provided there are plenty of exceptions and so forth, might not be something that we would be willing to vote for. I'm not promising anything, but I'm willing to talk.
Well, if we can get hundreds of thousands of people health care who don't have it now, that would seem like
a step in the right direction, absolutely.
And with the school bonds, maybe the same thing. We know for a fact that there's like $8 billion of need out there in the state, but there's not much chance that we're going to get that kind of a school bond.
Absolutely. I don't know if you were watching the optics of that portion of the State, but it was indicative. I wish I'd taken a photo of it, when the governor reiterated that exact number, $8 billion, and we needed a school bond. Well, Speaker Moore stood up and clapped, as did most of the Republicans, and of course the Democrats did. But unfortunately, our leader of the Senate sat with his hands in his lap, which I thought was absolutely the challenge that we have, is finding some way.
Well, obviously, you've mentioned the fact that you have other priorities that are more specific, things that you're working on. Are there some that you want to maybe give us a little preview of?
Yes, absolutely. I'm working with some Republicans on a bill to expand and extend our teaching pipeline by the Teaching Fellows Program expansion, but also, as I think of it, tributaries coming into the pipeline, other ways to perhaps get more individuals introduced to the concept of teaching, excited about the concept of teaching.
It's taken a big hit in recent years with sort of the decade-long assault on education funding.
Absolutely.
And we parents know a lot of kids have lost their interest in pursuing
that
career.
Yeah, parents are telling their children, we don't want you to go into teaching because you can, if you're a good student and you can qualify for these Teaching Fellows criteria, then you could probably go get a scholarship and study math and go to work for, I won't name it, give any plug to a
company,
some tech company. That's a real, real problem. Yeah. So we need to look, and I'm working with some of the deans of colleges of education also to talk about what are some of the options, and I'm also reaching out to some of the community college people to try to find out. We believe that there's some other avenues to bring people in from community colleges. I'm from, as you know, represent a very metropolitan part of our state, though I grew up in a more rural part of our state, and I also recognize that that's what's good for our entire state is addressing the concerns of the rural-urban divide. And so I think one of those ways to do that is to create more opportunities for education, more opportunities for jobs around those opportunities for education in our rural parts of our state. And then, of course, there's the healthcare issue in the rural parts of our state, too, and broadband. I could go on and on.
Yeah. So we do have an enormous divide in the state, and it's not narrowing right now. It's obviously something we have to be intentional about, or it's just we can't just let it go to seed, or it's really going to be a problem. I know that you're a sponsor of some of the redistricting efforts to do away with gerrymandering.
Yes.
Are you feeling any optimism there?
Well, I'm a co-sponsor of both of those bills.
Right.
I don't really like amending our Constitution. A lot of people feel that that's just not the way to go. I am much more of a supporter, more hopeful of the possibility, from my point of view and the point of view of those who really want to see change, that the commission bill will go farther. But I'm hearing, again, rumors that one has less chance than the constitutional amendment, believing that you need to enshrine things so that future legislatures cannot mess with it, whatever it is. So, as a matter of fact, I voted for a bill yesterday on eminent domain, which is a constitutional amendment proposed, because I believe we need to do something about that. I may be the rare entity in among some people about that.
One last bill, I believe you're a co-sponsor or a prime sponsor of a bill that's called Standing Up for Rape Victims Act of 2019.
Yes.
Is that one that you have some optimism about?
Absolutely. Very supportive of that. There are a lot of rape kits that have not been tested, and there are some other things that perhaps, I don't know, as we move that bill through committees, I'm sure it'll come to ones that I'm part of. We might amend it some to add some things, which I'm thinking about, that are also about sexual assault in general and things we need to do about that. But that might be a separate bill. No one likes to think that there have been all those untested rape kits out there. And some people believe that, you know, those numbers may be inflated or that they're no longer testable and so forth. But yes, it's an important bill and I totally support it.
I'm sure there are many more to come. We're still very early in the session.
Yes,
I'm sure you've got
Let's see, what are we at? I think I saw yesterday a bunch filed. We're over 200 now.
But we'll be well over 1,000 bills.
Well over 1,000. So, and I hope that 10 or 15 of them will have my name on as primary sponsor. So
yeah, and probably several more months to go. So hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you again later in the session and discuss some successes, perhaps, that have already taken place.
Well, I hope so. As I said earlier, I am optimistic that there are people who know that we need to work together, believe we should work together, and when those things are combined, I think we can get some things done. It does take longer when you're trying to get kind of negotiate the bill before it ever even gets filed, as opposed to negotiating the bill through amendments, right, through committee work and so forth. So that's why it's taken my bills a little bit longer than I had hoped. But as I said, coming soon.
Well, thank you for all your efforts. Please keep up the fine work, and we'll look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thank you so much.
Coming up next, the momentum to end partisan gerrymandering in North Carolina continues to build. We'll hear from one of the leaders of the movement. Stay with us.